fairly well in this area. I think it's boundaried by 60th Street to 76th Street from Villard Avenue to Silver Spring. Mm-hmm. So there's a new high school going in that area. You know, we have the redevelopment of 50% of West Lawn, and there's a lot of single family homes who have retained their property value, and there's a high home ownership that's in there that probably would be eligible for what we consider the WIDA product as far as loans are concerned. So if we can take that, you know, if we can be very focused on not just individual homes, but strategic plans in redeveloping neighborhoods and offering it to homeowners. That's the first request I'll make. You know, I don't normally be parochial, but when my ears perk up when I see these products that are coming up, when my constituents ask, are there any programs that's available for them? They're not looking for free money, but they are looking for assistance. So if those guidelines can be put in place, and even if it's a matching loan or whatever, however WIDA structures it, consider that, the Choice Neighborhood Initiative up in that area. Okay. I guess you can work with Tony on that program. It would be great once we reapply for that funding. And then the other thing is the contractors that are selected for this long-term rehab program, how are you selecting contractors and are there criteria that contractors have to have? And I premise that by saying I was approached by a contractor who was interested in helping us deal with some of the other issues as far as unemployment and trying to employ the most unemployable to learn about. And I know there's a lot of contractors are doing that, but what is the criteria that you're using to select contractors?
I don't know what WIDA's specific criteria will be, but from our purposes and our federal programs, we've employed the criteria that the contractor has to have the city license, they have to have insurance. And then we do a background check just to see that the contractor doesn't have any open city judgments or it would turn up anything else that could be problematic from a homeowner's perspective, which might be judgments relating to the work they've done, unpaid subcontractor things, or things like that. So
they don't have to have a specific designation that is certified through the city of Milwaukee. Okay, I'm gonna refer a contractor to you, and I've seen their work, but also I've seen who they employ, and I was very excited about the guys that were doing the jobs and the testimonies that they gave me about how they're starting to learn a craft. And when I say some of the ones that we think are unemployable, to hear the testimony to say I only wanted a chance and now I've got an opportunity to be productive, that's where it kind of hits home.
Okay.
And so I'll refer that name over to you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Art?
In terms of demolitions, as Maria said, we've got a couple in NSP2 that we're just doing some wrap-up on, most notably the 35th and Center. When you drive by, you see that the majority of the building is down. There's still debris, rubble that needs to be taken care of. Sorry about that. NSP3, we've got one more bid package that will get us squared away in terms of meeting the 50% obligation by the end of this month, so we're on target for that. We continue to look at alternatives to demolition instead of just talking about demolition all the time, although it feels like that's the mantra that we have to talk about. Ideally, we want to be able to find ways that we are getting people to stabilize these buildings before they get to such a point that we've got to tear them on down. We're doing a lot of inspection activity trying to get to that point. Much of it will, especially in the future, will be proactive in nature, so we want to be able to make sure that we all understand why we're doing that and not going after the little stuff, but trying to make sure that the substantive of the building is being maintained. So we're working on those kind of issues. I know you've seen and heard a lot of the administration efforts in terms of talking with the state. Alderman, you've been right there, right beside us, talking with the state, talking to business community, talking to the banks. I know Jennifer Gonda's been talking at the federal level in terms of trying to get, you know, urban initiative funding, for lack of a better word, to try and attack this growing problem. So that's where we really are right now.
Well, for 2013, how much resources do you have available, and what do you anticipate in terms of demolition? I mean, you have a backlog. I don't know how you define backlog, whether that can be somewhat of a fluid number, but I'm just curious, what's the big picture? And because as I understand it, we're down to using tax levy dollars and a little bit of NSP3, which is relatively small, correct?
Yeah, we have the second half of the WIDA $500,000 that it's already been obligated that those buildings are coming down as we speak. We have roughly $1 million that was put as tax levy dollars. Then there was, I believe, roughly $800,000 we've asked to be carried on over, and that came in two different pools. Early in 2012, you approved a use of DNS salary funds of $500,000 to be put towards demolition, and then there was an unrecognized revenue of another $500,000 that was put into that. Some of that was expended in 12, but much of that will be carried on over into 13. So those are the pools of dollars that we're roughly looking at right now. In terms of backlog, you're right, it's a very fluid dynamic. Properties are moving through process all the time, but broad numbers, we roughly have 500 buildings that have pending raise orders on them at $15,000 a pop, which is roughly what demolition of a single or a duplex goes for right now. That's a financial obligation of $7.5 million. So that sort of puts it in context, and that's one of the reasons why we've taken the stance we've taken on in terms of vacant buildings and being very aggressive in our inspections of vacant buildings, because we don't want those to become additives to that 500 number.
Right. And how many do you anticipate demolishing this year with the available funds, assuming there's no significant increase?
We're probably talking 120 to 140. Depending what size of projects that we have to deal with.
Okay. Anything else?
That'd be it.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Jim?
Mr. Chairman, I know I brought it up before, and I don't know if it got any traction. This would be more on the preventing side. Right now, most special charges have to be added to the first installment. You can't spread it out. So that's an impediment to people getting on the installment plan. Is the city going to pursue changes in statute? Since we're the only city of the first class, it could just apply to us, where special charges could be spread out over the 10-month installment.
So that's plan? State law, you're telling us?
Yeah. So you'd have to change the statute and then change the ordinance. But
well, that's news to us. I mean, I assume you have meetings with.
No, I thought we brought it up here in the
really?
Past, too.
Last meeting?
The second one.
But you know, I would trust it would have to be on the city's legislative agenda and pursued at the state level, and then you'd have to change the local ordinances as well. But at least it might give people more of an opportunity to get on the installment plan.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, sure.
Has the treasurer's office taken any action towards bringing that forth, or were you waiting for this bylaw?
Well, we brought it to the attention of this group. Yeah.
Well, let's initiate the process. I mean, you think it'll be helpful and fruitful, I would imagine. And why don't we look at opening up a file this cycle to pursue it?
Okay. Can you do that, Toby, or what would we need to do?
Sure. Let's do that, might as well do that, okay.
And I, you know, that's a policy decision, and but, you know, I think in many cases, if people could spread those payments out, they'd be able to get on the installment plan.
Sounds reasonable. And how many in-rem filings do we anticipate? We have one going in now, is that right?
April 17th is our tentative filing date. We'll have three files again this year, and it looks like it'll be 1,100 to 1,200 parcels that we pursue. And unfortunately, the redemption rate is maybe 25 to 35%. It's just the reverse of what it was a few years ago.
Mr. Chairman, I would motion that we work with the Treasurer's Office and ask the City Clerk to open up the file.
Sure.
This cycle, so we can proceed.
All right.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, hearing no opposition, so ordered. Very good.
Thank you.
So the three files in 2013 for a total of 1,100 to 1,200?
1,100 to 1,200 that we would initially file against.
So judging by that, it means possible we may in-rem foreclosures may exceed bank foreclosures at some point this year even. Yes?
Just based on those numbers.
Cool. And that would sort of be a,
you know, 700 to 800 properties you could acquire again, you'll wind up with, you know, 1,600 to 1,700 under your purview.
Yeah, that would exceed bank foreclosures.
That's why we're looking at how can we prevent that from happening.
And do we, while they are tax foreclosures, are we able to cross-reference to determine whether or not they're bank foreclosures as well?
I think Jim had one, a few meetings ago you brought.
The ones we acquired through the 12-1 file.
There was a certain percentage, I don't know, it was 25%, 25% or something that had loans outstanding on them, which meant the bank probably had just taken the position that the property was not worth paying the taxes. I think the other thing my guess is that's happening now, we've talked about this, and I don't know what your thought on this would, Jim, be. I think we're seeing kind of a second generation of foreclosures. In the early days of a few years ago, when the banks were foreclosing and just dumping properties and selling them to speculators or investors who were paying very little for properties and just kind of sitting on them, I think certainly some of the numbers we're seeing as a result of that, because what's happening is they purchased them, they really had no intent on doing anything with them, and so now those properties have reached the tax foreclosure stage and the city's acquiring them. So I think there's probably a subset of whatever we're getting right now that represents like a second generation of those original foreclosures.
We notice, you know, all of the interested parties, and in the case of financial institutions, we're noticing the home office as well as the originating office. So they're well aware of it. So they're choosing not to redeem in that case. And I think this is anecdotal. I think, you know, in the early going, it was people who had overextended themselves, but now it's to the point where folks lose their job, or they lose hours, their income is reduced, or there's a health crisis. And that's what we're seeing more and more now than the people that were overextended.
Do you know what percentage is actually owner-occupied property, though, versus investor-owned property?
Not off the top of my head.
Can we, in order to keep the residents in the home, can we, when we identify that there are tax foreclosures, encourage them to stay in the home and establish a meeting to find out their financial disposition and really see what process we can go through that will enable them to, I mean, since we've assumed first position, to save the house.
Well, in most instances, you do rent it out to the former owner.
Yeah, the former owner can stay there for a while until the property is sold. If the property is habitable, the existing tenants, if they're good tenants, can stay and rent the property until it's sold. I know Karen works with existing tenants who may have the capacity to purchase the property themselves if they wish to do that, in terms of affecting that kind of a transaction. To the extent possible, I think real estate really tries to keep people in the properties, again, if they're habitable, and if they're tenants, and can pay some amount of rent.
But if they are property owners and not the tenants?
Former owners.
Former owners that are in the home, that's tax foreclosure. We've not really put any measure in place to try to ensure that, try to keep them in the house for tax foreclosure.
No, I think they get a certain period of time. I think it's a fairly generous period of time. Days or anything, but after that, then the property is sold.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Alderman.
But I think what Maria just asked is a very important question to the Treasurer, and that is, what is the percentage of the ones that are owner-occupied versus investors? Because what happens is that if a property owner is experiencing negative equity, sometimes they choose not to pay city taxes for a certain amount of years, understanding that they're ready to just give this property up and continue to collect rent, but don't fulfill their obligation to the city of Milwaukee. So I would be interested in finding out if there's a number of investors who are purposely not paying city taxes with the intent of actually just going into foreclosure.
Yeah, because I think the strategies are very different for how you could intervene if it's an owner versus obviously if it's an absentee.
We can certainly take a look and see how many of the properties that are in the 2013 file are owner occupied, and the way we determine that is based either on the notation on the assessor's MPROP or whether or not it gets a lottery credit.
Mm. Cool.
So we can
cool.
do that.
Okay. Let's see.
Well, also the mailing address for the bill.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's no guarantee. That,
right.
You know, like when I did the analysis on that other data, we made sure they got a lottery credit. Then we.
Yeah, that's probably a bit more precise than that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they are legally attesting to the fact and swearing out that it's theirs and they live there. We can certainly take a look at the 2013 because we've got the data compiled, we're putting the documents together and getting ready to file. So we can do that.
Okay. Anything else? Anybody want to make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
So,
all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and I think we have everybody here anyway. Except for Steve. Okay. Ah, right. Okay, how does April 29th work for our next meeting? So we have the day before our council meeting on April 30th. Okay, well then we'll set that for 9 a.m. April 29th.
I'll be here. I apologize for
that. Oh, no problem.
It's never happened to me before.
Why not, ever?
All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
This guarantee business, is there anything more we can do?